We are continuing our series. We are in the middle, smack dab in the middle of a series on the Beatitudes. This week we're going to be looking at Matthew 5:7. So if you have your Bibles, you could turn there, or it's just one verse, so you could just probably memorize it when I read it. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. As we continue in our study, there's something interesting about this particular beatitude. This is the first beatitude that we read in the list that is primarily an outward-focused action. Okay, up till now, most of the beatitudes have been more internal-focused, with outward, it affects our outward reactions and actions, but that's not the primary, that wasn't the primary reason for them. This one, that to do this, to be merciful, requires interaction with somebody else, right? You can't be merciful. You need to have someone to show mercy on to be merciful. Does that make sense? So this one's a little unique than many of the others. Most of them are internally focused. We've talked for weeks about what it really means to be blessed, and so I'm not going to spend too much time on that. We have all of those messages are online. You can check those out at christianassembly.com or on our Facebook page, and especially some of the earlier ones where we took some time and really hammered into what does it mean when it says you are blessed when you embody these beatitudes. So I'm just going to leave that online, and you can go check that out. And we're just going to jump right in. So let's just open with a word of prayer, and then we're going to jump into our discussion on mercy this morning. So, Father, we invite you here. God, I ask that you would help us to focus on your word, that you would, your truth would come out this morning, that I would speak clearly, that we would hear from you clearly, that we would not be distracted by the temperature or what's going on after church or what happened before church, but that we would just have these few moments sitting in your truth and hearing your voice. Amen. What is mercy? There's a lot of definitions out there of mercy. I didn't really particularly love any of them, so I just made my own up. This is how I would describe mercy, because as you'll see as we go on, it's complicated. It has some nuance to it. If I was going to put a dictionary definition to it, this is what I would say. Mercy is compassionate withholding of consequences due. Compassionate withholding of consequences that are due someone. We see it a lot in comparison, or in the Bible, you see it paired a lot with grace, because they're very close. They're like, if they're not brother and sister, they're like cousins that live next door to each other. They're really, really related. Grace is there's kind of this old saying, you know, grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. So they're kind of in verses of each other, but they're certainly connected. Mercy is one of these things. I feel like as I was reading and thinking kind of my own life, it's one of these things that I think we all, like, we know that it's a virtue, we know that it's a value, but at least for me, I kind of have this, like, default, if I'm really honest, I have this default picture of mercy being something for people that it's important that people have to deal with mercy that are much more important and powerful and influential than I am, right? Because mercy is you have to, like, have a lot of power to show mercy, right? that's the whole point. You have to be able to have the authority to really punish someone before you can show them mercy. And as I've been studying this week, the Lord's really been challenging me on that. That is not the case. Mercy is for every day. Mercy is an everyday issue. Mercy is not bringing up someone's failure when it's not necessary. That's compassionate withholding of a due consequence. You may have a friend or a family member that's always doing this thing, you know. They're always messing up in this one area, and so you're always talking about that thing, or they're trying to not do that thing anymore, and it's just natural to just kind of almost scoff at it and remind them of that thing, or the next time they're upset with you, to bring that thing up, just to kind of level the playing field. And they may deserve it, right? I'm not talking about you just making some of that. They very well may deserve it. That's where mercy comes in. Mercy is helping a friend study even after you know the material. Mercy isn't always about offense. Mercy isn't always, someone doesn't have to owe you personally something for you to show them mercy. The consequence may be due to something else other than you. We can see this in Jesus' healing ministry. What did people cry out that Jesus would go and heal them? Have mercy on me, Jesus. And he would respond with compassion and heal them. That wasn't a personal offense. He was showing mercy. It was a consequence. It was a plight. It was something in their life that he chose to intervene and be compassionate, even though he really wasn't involved, right? He didn't make the dude blind. He just fixed the problem. Mercy is for family. Sometimes I think this is one of the hardest places to be and to show mercy, because we're just with each other all the time. And it's so easy, especially for parents. You know, you want to instruct your kids. You want to have discipline. You want them to be, you don't want them to grow up to be serial killers, so you really want them to learn to follow the rules. But mercy is for kids too. It's important that we not become pushovers, but that at times we are willing to be merciful even when a kid does deserve discipline. As parents, we are the chief picture of God to our kids. And if we are never showing them that sometimes our love will just overwhelm our desire for justice, we will present a warped picture of who God is. Mercy comes from a place of strength. You must know and feel like you are in a place of strength to show mercy. If we feel like we are the victim, it's going to be very difficult to show mercy to someone or anyone. So I love in our worship time today, that's kind of the sentiment. We didn't even plan it, but that whole worship time was kind of the ethos of what we're talking about here. Until we embrace our new position of power in the kingdom, we will always struggle to show mercy. Until we understand that God has already won the battle and we are just celebrating and walking that out, we are going to struggle to show mercy as a way of life. Notice here in this verse, it also says, blessed are the merciful. This is a description of the nature of a person, not just an action that they do. Jesus didn't say, blessed are you when you show mercy, so you'll be shown mercy. He said, blessed are the merciful. Whenever I hear that, read that, it makes me think of the Marines. Right? The few, the proud, the Marines. When you're a Marine, I am not one, obviously, but I have the privilege of having some friends. I've known some Marines. And when you are a Marine, you are a Marine. That is who you are from the day you enter boot camp to the day they lay you in the coffin. That is part of your character, right? That's what Jesus is getting at here. This is all these Beatitudes. They are a way of life that leads to blessing, not a business transaction. It's not, I do this merciful thing here, so I get this mercy over here. Oh, I really need mercy from God, so let me be nice. That's not the way this works. This is talking about a character, a core foundational, not that you never mess up, not that there's never exceptions, but at your core, this is part of your identity. To be merciful means that you have predetermined to show mercy before the situation occurs. It's almost like, think of it like marriage vows. You don't know what's going to happen over the next, 40, 50 years, if you live that long, when you get married. But you make vows, and you're saying that regardless of what the circumstance is, these are the things I'm going to do. That's what the Beatitudes are. That's what being the merciful really looks like. It's saying, I don't know what's coming when I get out of bed this morning, but I know in the situation, I'm going to be merciful. But how can we live this way and not get taken advantage of? That's the defense, right? That's the fear. That's the thing we hold up to get out of doing this, because to be honest, being merciful is not fun a lot of the time. We have to understand that this is a heart position more than a specific decision. It's why you're choosing to say the thing you're saying or do the thing you're doing or making the decision you're making than it is the decision itself. Being merciful doesn't mean that you can't hold people accountable. It means that you show mercy as much as you can and you have compassion. Here's a good test. If you have compassion when you can't. It is very clear in Scripture that there is a very real place called hell, and people are going to end up there. We should believe that. We should know that. It should bother us. Right? There is a, and it's a growing kind of sentiment now that that God is so loving, God is so kind, that at the end of the day, everybody's going to end up in heaven, right? That's a. I don't know if you've heard. I'm sure you've probably heard that, but that's in some pockets of the church. That thought has, and it's not new. It's been around for centuries, but it's kind of gained a little more popularity. And the reaction of kind of more traditional church has been to rail against that, and that is right, because we don't believe that to be true and accurate, so we can't change what we think, but we should wish that they were right. Right? This is a good lesson for us when it comes to really any truth, that we have to hold fast to the truths that we know that the Bible teaches, but at the same time, we can't be such a vanguard for the truth that we ignore the consequences of it and come off as uncaring hypocrites, really. So that's a good picture of what mercy is. It's this not withholding. To kind of help further this along, I want to spend a few moments also talking about what mercy is not. Sometimes that helps us get a better idea of what something is. First thing is, mercy is not fair. It's the whole point. Nobody deserves mercy. If they deserved it, it would be called justice. That's a different word. It's not fair. Our goal in life is not fairness. It's to be like Jesus. And Jesus was not fair. It wasn't fair the way he was treated. It wasn't fair the way he loved other people, because none of us deserved it. Some would argue it wasn't fair that he healed some and not others. But he was okay with that. And we have to be too. So mercy is not fair. Mercy is also not the same, although it can disguise itself as this, as giving in or acquiescing out of fear or avoidance. Okay, that's not mercy. You don't get credit for that. You know, your kid wants something and they want to watch more TV and you say no. And they say, please, and you say no, and they say, please, and you say no, and then you say, please, and then you go to the bathroom, and they stand outside, and they knock on the door and say, please, 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 please. And finally, you just, out of, like, sheer desire to have your brain back, you just say, fine! That's not mercy. That's giving in. All right? God's up there going, Peter, don't write that one down. That doesn't count, Gabriel. We're not putting that one in the book. No jewels for that one. It's a difference, and it's important for us to understand that. It is, for some of us, people pleasers, it's real easy to disguise, even to ourselves, that what we're doing is merciful and dress it up like we're being kind and we're being Christ-like, when in actuality we're just afraid to really speak the truth. Or we're afraid to say something that we need to hold somebody accountable for. Mercy is also not letting go of an offense that was unreasonable in the first place. We need to let go of our offenses and forgive. Matter of fact, we have to forgive. Forgiveness is a prerequisite. It's a requirement. We don't get a choice. We have to do it, right? But not punishing somebody for something that really wasn't their fault in the beginning, you're just upset about it, isn't showing mercy. It's just you being oversensitive. I'm just going to move on past that one. Mercy is also not expecting God to get them. Right? Vengeance is mine. I shall repay, declares the Lord. That should not be your favorite verse. Your life verse. That should not be it. And sometimes though, that's our attitude. Like, something's, and we're like, okay, we feel like the Holy Spirit kind of like convicts us. Like, all right, I got to let this go. I'm going to let this go. But our deep down, our real motivation for letting it go is because, like, God's bigger and stronger and he can really get them. I don't really have the resources to make them pay, but maybe if I show them mercy, maybe then that'll like get God moving on, you know, striking their house or something. I don't. This is not an attitude of compassion or mercy. And to be honest, if that's your attitude, it's going to set you up for bitterness, because you're way more interested in vengeance than God is. God will pay back, but he's also infinitely more patient and gracious than we are. And so you are 99% of the time going to be disappointed with the outcome if that's your expectation. It's about compassion. And the idea of showing mercy in everyday life, it can be complicated, trying to decide, you know, in parenting, in our relationships, like, how do we navigate this? How do we hold people accountable and still show mercy whenever we can? So I came up with three questions to kind of help us decide, or help us, get us thinking. These aren't like an ironclad, like, ask yourself these three questions and you'll definitely have an answer. This is more like, here's three good questions that will probably confuse you a little bit, make it more complicated, but they're important for us to face the answers before we make a decision. Okay, the first one is this: is it within my authority? Is it within my authority to show this person mercy or hold them accountable? Sometimes we are stressing over issues that are not ours, right? If I work at the DMV or the BMV, is it the DMV or BMV? B? Okay, BME. Never know if it's bureau or department or what. Anyway, if I work there and somebody comes in and they need their driver's license, they need a driver's license, and they have a great, super sad story about why they need this license, but they have 7 DUIs on their record, and the court has told them they don't get a license anymore, I cannot, regardless of how much compassion within me, I cannot give them a driver's license. Why? Because it's not my authority to do so. Sometimes that's a great first question, because sometimes we feel compelled or we try to show somebody mercy with authority that is not ours. So is it within my authority to show this person mercy? Because you can get yourself in trouble if you don't answer this question. You can actually end up compromising your own integrity, compromising your own testimony, your own witness, your own standing, your own what's going on with you and God, if you compromise what is right for the sake of helping somebody else out. So, is it within your authority? Second one, what will it cost me if I do? Showing mercy is going to cost you something much of the time. It may just be, it may be your pride. It may be bitterness. It could be time. It may be money. But what will it cost me if you do? And then the question that probably will really make this complicated a lot of the time is, what will it cost them if I don't? What will it cost them? This is the question we don't ask a lot. We do pretty good, I think, generally, of the first two questions. But a lot of times it's this third one that we don't really ask ourselves. And it's the one that's probably the most motivating when it comes to being like Jesus. What's it going to cost them if I don't? So three questions to kind of get us going in that direction, trying to decide of when we should show mercy. So we've done what mercy is, we've talked about what it's not, some questions on whether we should, but the question really is, I think, how? How do we become the merciful? Not just people who show mercy sometimes. How do we become the merciful? How do we become these people that it is our default setting? And I think the key is found in the context of what the Sermon on the Mount is in its entirety. And we alluded to it a little bit, actually, during worship. Last time I spoke in this series, we talked about how there's a prefix that at the beginning of each of these verses that's not actually written, but you could add it and it would be helpful. Does anybody remember what that prefix was? You know, it was a pop quiz today. Anybody? It's okay. Statistically, a third of you weren't here anyway, so it's fine. In the kingdom. We could add to the front of each of these, in the kingdom. So if we add that to this verse, in the kingdom, blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. all of this is in the context of seeing how things work in the kingdom of God. And to be in the kingdom of God means that we have already first understood and accepted the mercy that Jesus has shown us. We have experienced his mercy first. We understand that 2,000 years ago, Jesus came and served us and loved us and healed us and then let us kill him in the most excruciating way imaginable so that he could forgive us. We've experienced the pain of realizing that it was my sin that put him on that cross, and he loved me and forgave me anyway. We are merciful. We can become the merciful when we recognize that he started it. And not only did he show us great mercy first, but he shows us continual mercy. In Lamentations chapter 3, starting verse 22, the writer says, "The faithful love of the Lord never ends. It keeps us from destruction. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning." I love that. It's so encouraging to me. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, that his mercy, it's so specific. His mercies are fresh every morning. Every morning when I wake up, there is a fresh baked batch of mercy for me. And it's important that I embrace the fact that I need a fresh baked batch every morning. I don't care how long you've been saved, you still need air freshener in your bathroom. We forget that sometimes. There is still always work to be done. I am no less in need of mercy today than I was 20 years ago, or 30 years ago, or last week. And the fact is, the closer we get to Jesus, the more we should be seeing our need for mercy, not less. We continue to experience it because we understand the nature of sin. We were talking in Kaya, that's our young adult group on Wednesdays, we were talking about sin. And I used the analogy that, you know, sanctification, being sin, the way it works in our lives, and trying to, you know, overcome sin on our own, it's a lot like trying to jump over the Grand Canyon by yourself. Just, you know, flying leap, here I go. It doesn't really matter if you can jump 3 feet further than I can. We're all going to end up at the same place. A big splot at the bottom of the ravine. Why? Because none of us are making it over, and the result is the same. And we have to keep that in mind, that I receive as much mercy today as the worst person you want to think of in this day. I need mercy today just as much as that person does. So how do we become merciful? I think we find our clearest answer in the New Testament, in the book of Romans. It's a familiar verse. Many of you probably can read this from or recite this from memory. Romans 12, verse 1. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." We tend to read this verse and we think about the things that we need to do to get closer to God, right? Make sure that we are giving our tithe or giving our offerings and reading our Bible and praying regularly and talking about our faith. And all those things are certainly true. And not, you know, and staying away from sin and living a holy life. Those things are true, and they are applicable in this verse. But it also includes a powerful instruction on how we become the merciful. It's right in there. "Dear brother, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy." in view of it. We have to keep his mercies in view, not just as commands. He didn't say, in view of God's laws, present yourself. That's kind of how we act sometimes. You know, we read, we just think of the laws, and we try and remind ourselves of all the do's. We got to do this and do this and do this. But that's not what Paul says here. He says, in view of his mercy. Not that we don't focus on those things, but we also, as much as, more than that, we need to focus on what God has done, not what we need to do. Keeping always in the sight of God's mercy will transform and renew our minds and create us, help us become the merciful. It's ever present, creating a life where we are constantly in view of the mercy God has shown us and is showing us daily. Tammy, if you want to come on up, we're going to close here in just a minute. So how has God been merciful to you? It's an important question. I think one of the reasons or ways we struggle with this is because there's a very practical, very prominent part of Scripture and discipleship and just our Christian walk that we don't by nature really like, and so we don't talk about it much, and we don't tend to be great at putting it into practice, and that's confession. Regular, and I don't mean like Catholic confession, like the booth and, you know, one of us sitting on the other side. I mean confessing to the Lord our sins. Actually taking the time to evaluate our day, our week, and put words to where we messed up. Sometimes we miss God's mercy because we just haven't taken the time to see the times in our day and in our week that we needed it. And God is so gracious and so loving and so forgiving that we don't, a lot of the time, there's not, because he's not a condemning God, it's easy to miss those moments. Because he doesn't, every time you mess up, immediately strike a lightning bolt or send a cloud over your head or, you know, make you feel horrible about yourself. I mean, he could. He'd have the right to, but he's merciful. And so confession is a key part of keeping view of God's mercy. It's taking time every day, every week, and looking at our week and saying, God, I messed this up. Gosh, Lord, I lost my temper here. I should not have spoken to my kids that way. God, I really phoned it in at work today. I did not put in a good effort. God, there's this person over here. I know I should forgive them. I should be compassionate towards them, but I've just been withholding my love and my affection just because it's just, I felt like they just didn't deserve it. When we take that time and we experience and we receive intentionally that forgiveness from God in those moments, it creates in us this space, this reserve of compassion for others. Because because it keeps God's mercy in view. So that when the next day, if I've been confessing in the morning about my stink, my stuff, and then 3 hours later I'm confronted with somebody else's stuff, I'm much in a much better position to remember God's mercy for me. And that will create humbleness in me so that I can show His mercy to them. And so before we close today, I just want to give you a moment to just do that. Have a moment of reflection and repentance, just in your own life, of just this last week even. There may be someone here or a few people here that have never asked the Lord for mercy. You don't have a relationship with Jesus. You can join in this prayer and start one today. It's that simple. It's not that easy, but it's that simple. And it's only the beginning of something great. It's not a one-time thing. As you see, there's others in this room that have been doing this for 30, 40, 50 years, and we're at the same place you are, so feel like you're in good company. But you can this morning say, Jesus, I recognize, I know that I need mercy. I need your mercy. I've messed up. Would you forgive me? Would you guide me from here on out? Would you lead me? Would you become my Lord? Would you save me from myself, from my sin? So let's just take a moment and reflect and talk to the Lord, and then I'll close us in a word in just a minute.